Okay, I call the July 9th, 2019 Committee of the Whole Meeting of Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and...
Okay, it's 7 o'clock. Member Bourne is absent. Member Covey?
Here.
Member Ludden is absent as of right now. Member Underdunk?
Here.
And Chair Brooks?
Present. All right, matters from the public. Obviously, there is no public, so we will skip right over that. And enter into our discussion on Lincoln and Crescent Playground design. And we have Altima New here to present for us.
Well, we actually had we just really have staff at first, so let's for Lincoln Crescent and get some ideas. Okay, so thank you for those who sent me information in for a big picture of what you would like to see the Lincoln Crescent Playground to look like. That it was information was passed on to Altima New, and they do the design. There is the concept for it. Just to go over really quick what we heard from our commissioners that responded. They want to stick to the 275 construction budget. Should not exceed it, and it should be a comparable to additional playgrounds of neighborhood size, unless funds are found, such as grants or donations, at which time we would add the port in place in to that to make it easier with the adjacent water feature. Meet the requirements for a small playground for toddlers and children, climb, swing, slides, sandbox if appropriate, and a tire swing. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. Additional special standalone pieces within budget, not duplicated other places. Do not repeat the structures, 2 to 5 structures from Vernon and Takeoff. Would also be happy to fund him a ninja piece for older kids or something like that. And staff added that if we could stay away from excessive netting. We have that in the Old Elm and Vernon, that it's we really have enough of that at this point. And we heard comments it's harder for younger kids to navigate and such. So, Chris, I'm going to throw it to you.
Okay, we're going to talk through a couple of the elements that were requested and just kind of talk about, you know, what will work for us. And is that correct, Lisa?
Yes.
So, we just want to talk a little bit about the sandbox, if appropriate. So based on the fact that we're pursuing an interactive water fountain at this park, we're going to recommend against pursuing sand, not wanting to be the no police, but typically sand will end up in the apertures on the water feature itself, and that would cause the feature to malfunction as well as would cause the actual water surface to get slick. So we would recommend against pursuing a sandbox at this particular location.
We've noticed a lot of friends. For example, kids take the sand from at friends and put it into our water fountain, and it clogs up, and it's a maintenance nightmare. So we could just imagine what would happen at this site.
Of course, of course.
So we're kind of eliminating that, but we wanted to explain why we're doing it too. So
it's also the number 2 location for transfer of hand, foot, and mouth among small children.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the DCFS has a number of regulations prohibiting it on programmed playgrounds, but that's a side note. The other thing that we want to just kind of briefly discuss is a tire swing. We wanted to kind of get the board's feeling on whether we could pursue a group swing and not just limit it to a tire. And the thought behind that was tire swings can be kind of limiting to multi-generational play, as they're difficult for parents to get into with their kids. Versus of a group swing where you can get a number of participants on them at the same time, and it has the same play value, but it's not just a tire. So,
what's a group swing?
Do you have a picture of that?
That's a good answer. That's a good question.
Does it go fast, Chris?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
It can go fast.
You can probably get more kids on it than you can.
But you don't need a lot of kids on it.
Like, no, you can have one. You can have a parent with a child or a baby. Or
2 kids together.
Okay.
Or a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Makes and sense. It's more ADA,
so
too.
So take a look at something like this.
Drag yourself into it.
Yeah. We're pushing. Right.
There you go.
So there it is. Oh, there you go.
Oh, I thought that was the new modern tire swing.
So it kind of is the new modern tire swing.
That was more my thought, in the fact that typically tire swings also have, and I won't get too technical, but the knuckle that holds the chains is a 360-degree turning knuckle, and it's really easy to crush fingers in there. This is kind of the 30 years plus evolved tire swing that we're seeing out now in contemporary playground, so would something like this be reasonable, or?
I think you would, you folks would know.
I am giving all here.
Oh. So it goes nice and high,
so
it just doesn't twirl.
Yeah, that's
to sit in.
You can't fall through it, it has a bottom.
It's like a netting basket?
Yeah. It's like a...
A giant frisbee with a...
It's a tire the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
The other one, upside down both ways.
Yeah, with a netting in the middle. So you can see how many kids are on there, like four. So it's a lot more, kids can get on there.
And it goes in one direction.
Yeah, it goes one direction, yes.
Okay.
That's fine.
This is kind of the... the old school version of, let's see if we can,
do you want to close the main one?
No, it's all right, John. Yeah, here we go. So this is what we had at the park originally, and that's what has kind of fallen out of favor just because it's more difficult for a number of participants to use, and it also has a high crush point with the chains and whatnot, so. That would just be those two bits of feedback on that. We also had some dialogue, Lisa, about the difference between functionally linked play and large central play structures.
Mick.
Yep. So we had some dialogue about large central play structures like we have throughout our park system now and more raindropped in individual pieces. So one of the reasons that we typically see the large central structure is because of a thing called functionally linked play. So that's actually a code terminology, and I'll show you that really quick here. So functionally linked play is what allows us to, you're going to have to help me with this.
There's more techie than me. Oh, there we go.
So functionally linked play is what allows us to put a lot of play equipment in a small space. So here's a couple of examples. Two of these are Glenville playgrounds. One of them is just an IDNR sample sheet. So you can see the safety, the fall zones around the equipment. So this is an overhead of each piece of equipment. So these larger pieces, that's what's called functionally linked play. So you can see that you get a lot of bang for your buck when you have a centrally located piece. You see on this top piece here that looks like a bow tie, that's a freestanding piece. And if we were to just raindrop those pieces in, what we would end up with is pushing the footprint out, and we would end up with more of a disjointed play space and a larger footprint. We are working to adhere to our budget on this project. We have a lot of different grades on the site, so the larger our footprint gets, we're gonna start burning up our dollars on things like curbs, drainage, surfacing versus a centralized play piece, which is very common in contemporary playgrounds. Is there any questions about that?
One of the things I think that we try and do, that I remember from talking to some folks in other park districts, is you want to provide something that will lead a child from one activity to the other.
That's absolutely right, Dudley. And with those central play pieces, you have a lot of different elements that come together. There's a social aspect of it. You don't end up with, you know, here's a play piece here, here's a play piece here, here's a play piece here. It really leads the child from one piece to the other. And there's also an opportunity for younger kids to kind of graduate up the play piece to the taller decks. We see that at Shelton, at West, where the younger kids kind of congregate down in the smaller areas. As they have a little more courage, they move up to the larger decks.
So this is what we pretty typically do in all of our playgrounds.
Yeah, so
and the reason we bring this up is one commissioner wanted to look at the concept of just putting individual pieces throughout, and it's just an explanation why staff does not think that's the most appropriate way to do a playground. We like a big, like a wow, individual wow, if we have it in our budget and the room, but doing a whole bunch of individual ones, it doesn't really give a lot of room for a lot of kids to play on the equipment, and it drives our budget way up.
It can get really disjointed.
Doesn't the geography of this particular place mean that it's even more difficult to spread things out because of the,
correct.
I mean, it's just because it's expensive.
Yeah.
And
also have a bit slow.
Well, and it's not flat.
You're here and your kid's down there.
Yeah, mature trees.
The sight lines are very much compromised.
The idea that you're going to want to supervise the kids.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it as well.
Sure.
Is best practices these days to set up a centralized?
Yes.
Yeah.
And tends in playgrounds, kids play in a circle, like he's saying. They also like to have a high spot in the middle. So often you see these big pieces in the middle because they can look over everything. The other problem is when you have individual pieces, not only does it cost more, but say you're an adult going to a playground and you have two kids. How do you control it? How do you watch it? One kid is over there, one kid's over there. It doesn't work very well. The other thing is what tends to happen, you try not to mix ages because little kids just get squished.
So you go from top to bottom. The other thing also, sometimes people ask for separate pieces for the shy kids or that don't want to be near the group. So that can happen. But also what they're starting to do is integrate it into the play piece. So like maybe underneath there'll be one of those like seats with the kids that don't want
to get away from
like
the chaos.
They can
part of
kind of watch what's happening, but they don't have to participate.
That's a good point.
So
yeah.
They're starting to do that as well in the structures.
And we have to remember, this is really for younger kids, right? These little pocket parks.
They are technically K through 12, right?
2 to 12. So we have some locations that are like Woodlawn is more heavily 5 to 12. There are 2 to 5 elements there.
Yeah.
We have Vernon again, which has the separate 5 to 12 elements. Old Elm, but after is 2 to 12. So,
okay.
But again, we see 12-year-olds just wanting to hang out, and they're less involved in,
Okay. But the play pieces and this one, we visualize more of the younger, rather than Woodlawn, which is we kind of geared it to a little bit older, more adventurous pieces. This would be more geared to probably 2 to 8.
Because you're going to have the interactive fountain, which is going to be a natural draw for that younger
age. For that younger age.
Versus, the preteen. So.
Any other input or any questions before we move on to other ones? Or anything else you'd like to see in this playground as we design? And then I'm going to tell you a little bit about our timeline on this after, when you're done with questions.
Does that say HO scale or no scale?
No scale.
No scale.
Not model railroad.
Any other input or anything else you'd like to see? Okay, so the time.
The budget is sufficient to pay for that?
We haven't designed anything yet.
This is
conceptual.
No, this is nothing. This is just showing you.
These are different parts. Just comparison.
Yeah, we're not showing you anything yet.
The purple one was conceptual, but that was with a different budget earlier in the process.
So they haven't done any design yet on this. We wanted to get input before they decided on. So our budget is pretty much firmed at $275. And it would increase if we got a grant or donation to add port in place, which we would like to see because of the water feature.
Rubber surfacing.
Yeah.
So like at Friends Park and West Park.
I have a quick question about cement curbing.
Sure.
I'm so confused about, I see it some places, I don't see it others. Is there do we still do the curbing? Do we, if we do port in place, we still have to have?
Yes, because you have to contain it. Like asphalt in the parking lot is a soft sort of edge that needs something to hold it in. We didn't use curbing in one place, and that was on the northeast side of Woodlawn where the oak trees were.
Yeah.
Because we didn't want to cut a 24-inch deep trench. And the only... The thing that helps with the curbing is that you know that your fall zones are within that space.
Mm-hmm.
So what we did, we created sort of what we call a V-cut, which these guys maintain, and we push that line out a little bit further in case it moves in and out, you still have the safety surfacing.
When you get especially on a grade, the curbing really keeps the chips in if you start to see rain, where they can float right on out of the playground. Those kinds of things. So there are are plastic kind of catch basin-y, like assemble kind of Lego-y things.
Yeah.
But they don't really hold up really well, to be honest with you.
Okay. They look nasty. I have them in a neighborhood near me, and they look. I can bring a picture. It looks awful. It's not up to. Right. They're not. That's not best practice.
In the old days, we used to use. treated timbers.
Timbers, yeah.
But now that you're not putting treated wood with playgrounds, they just don't hold up. I mean, you know, 25 years ago, we were all using treated timbers.
Yeah.
Right. But they just don't do that anymore.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
So what we're going to do is that Altamanu is going to take our input that we received from you. We're going to look for a different theme. Because as you recall, we like to make our playgrounds at different themes so people can say, I'm going to the treehouse park or I'm going to whatever park and kind of zipline park or whatever they decide to go. So, and we probably won't use a rocket ship because we know that didn't go over last time. But
I liked it too.
So maybe do you guys all like rocket ships? Because we can reinvent that one. Because that would be a cool one for here.
Why didn't everybody hate what did people not like about it?
Was it Steve didn't like it?
Chris Regan did not care for it.
Who?
Really?
Chris Regan did not care for it.
Do you guys have any issues about rocket ships, though?
No, the theme.
Trains, planes, and automobiles.
Trains, planes, and automobiles.
And rockets.
Well, I would say that I have absolutely zero problem with a rocket ship.
That's how I would concur.
Maybe think about
no problem.
Back
I don't think there was a problem with the concept of the rocket ship. There was the appearance of that particular one.
Okay, so there is some feedback. You don't like that particular one, but maybe.
What are you gonna do? It's gonna look like a rocket.
Okay, so here's the timeline. Believe it or not, we're applying. We have a tight timeline because of the OSLAG grant that we're applying for. So Altamanu is going to go back and start designing. Our deadline for the OSLAG grant is August 15th. We did recently find out that because we already applied for trail grant, that we cannot put the trail as part of the OSLAG grant, but that our OSLAG grant with our playground, interactive fountain, trundle was a very good OSLAG grant also, so we're looking at probably, it's a matching grant, probably about $300,000 by the time you're all done with everything in this playground, $250,000, $300,000. So we're going to apply for that, but we have to have most of the playground design done before we submit that OSLAG grant. So what we're going to do is that in August, first week of August, I'll be sending up meetings. Hopefully I can do two at the same time and have you guys come in and look at the playground design. If you don't have any major problems with it, then we'll go ahead and submit it. We can make minor modifications after it goes to the OSLAG grant, but not anything big. So we would like to get it pretty much like this is great. We just have to tweak one or two things, but the major structure would have to happen. So those meetings would take place with Chris and I, and I would have you guys come in when it's ever convenient for you, because we already canceled the August committee meeting, so we'll just fit it in whenever your schedule allows. Does that sound good? And then we'll go ahead and apply for the OSLAG grant for that one. Okay?
Good.
Okay, anything else about playground? Okay, now we're going to go to the activity pods. And I'm going to actually throw this right over to Altamanu. And we gave them a list of things that you guys talked about last time, but we really just wanted them to come with creative ideas and things they could think of for those activity pods and maybe
sure.
Brainstorm that, kind of narrow down what we do not want or want. I want to clarify a mistake I made in the memo is that I put that the board wasn't in favor of fitness equipment. That wasn't true. Not everybody was not in favor of it. They just don't want, if we do a fitness equipment, they don't want bright colors. So some board members do not have a problem with fitness equipment. So put that out there. That was my mistake.
Yeah.
Try it again.
Just try this.
Cool.
You want this?
Yeah.
Just scroll through it.
That's what we want.
What about the clicker?
This
all makes sense.
Doesn't it?
Yeah,
okay,
there you go.
Excellent. Okay, we got your notes. And we definitely have looked at teenagers, the adult population and families, social engagement, recreation priority. We haven't included images of permanent cornhole, bocce, or ping pong. We can certainly do that. I just didn't have enough time. Yoga outdoor exercise platform we can also do, but they're not included in this. But we were looking at what you said first about the playground and stick to 275.
Yeah.
we can't spread things out. We just won't be able to make it. And these are also things we said about mixing older and younger kids and how difficult it is for adults when you spread things out. And no problem to have a different structures and theme, but the other two are really quite difficult to do.
Yeah.
Anyway, to remind you of some of the things we talked about with the pods, was the call for intergenerational recreation. Getting kids outside was a big deal. So seniors, everybody, how do you do it? And I found this quote, tastefully simple, easy to use, high quality, and enjoyable. Thank you. And we looked at teens in the parks, pretty difficult. And these are quotes from various studies that have been done. Young people in particular are less tolerated in public spaces, we know that. Teen girls in particular are isolated from public space. They feel scared, they need lighting. Teens don't go to parks because they are for little kids. What teens want is places to hang out with benches, tables, and green areas. People think teens want to be separate. It goes against what teens consistently request. And teens want to make teen-friendly, but also all person-friendly socializing spaces. There's a lot here. I'll go through it very quickly. Wi-Fi is critical. It just is. They're going to go where Wi-Fi. Park districts in Chicago is doing it. Lots of other park districts are doing it. Where we live, Oak Park is doing it. Charging stations as well. Now, study areas. This comes up all the time in this survey. They like to hang out, but they've also got schoolwork to do. They think simple, this is what the kids came up with, simple picnic tables, some shelter, a grove of trees with tables and benches. Movie nights, I don't think in these parks it's going to happen. Food trucks, I can see local neighbors loving that. Interactive lighting and art. Play spaces for children and adults. And actually, the Australians are way ahead in this. They make large pieces, so it's very easy for adults, but you can't move them unless a group of people get together. Ping pong, no problem. These are all in order of the votes they got. You can see nature does count. Music, Malmo, a very successful park in Malmo, Sweden. They can plug in and they can choose what music they want to play and the kids dance. Lighting, as I said, teen girls. And water features. Okay, so to give you some ideas how we could deal with some of the things we talked about before, but in a very low-key way, fitness, balance beams. Here's typical Glencoe mothers doing Pilates in the park. So these are all low-key that could be in these places. Gathering spaces.
Who
are you going to address? You can see the piece on the right, you know, something that's really cool, might attract kids. A little bit older generation. Hugely popular. This is a beautiful one in Miami. And the parks in New York are famous for this. And I think that's very traditional. Looks pretty good. Seating pods, traditional. You guys have swings. We could add surprises along the way. And then you talked about social interaction, conversation. We could do it in natural surroundings, little pods coming off the trail, our family.
Well, that's good. That's cool. That's really cool.
They always get you, don't they?
Oh my God.
Every time. You know, I have an idea, I'm like, I'll show this and show that, and then you come in here and laugh. I would never have thought of that.
Oh, look at that picture.
Oh,
that's
funny.
People love
that.
They have that in Montreal. People
really?
the big chairs.
Sure.
Yeah, they have all over everywhere.
That is cool, right?
They have really cool.
I think your feet would still touch the ground, Josh, right?
Kind of long back chairs.
Yeah, she do that a lot, yeah.
Long back chairs.
That's really cool.
As Anna, our daughter, says, it's dope. And you can get as many kids as you want to.
Sure, she loves the fact that you hold it for public meetings, right?
She's like, does she know?
Does she know, right?
This is a German mayor who got fed up with teenagers messing up his parks. The problem is teenagers like to sit on the back of benches. But when the weather's bad, they carry muck all over the benches, and then the older people get fed up. So he designed this bench, which is now available in America. And it's multiple use. You can see back to back. You can use part of it a place to write. And then at the top, you turn it into a picnic table. And of course, all teenagers look like this.
Yeah.
Very studious. The ones I know look more like this.
Yeah.
But look at the bench. Indestructible, two levels, available here. Very cool. And linear. Solid wood. And then getting teens involved, something like that. Potentially little spaces where they can, you know, kick a ball around. And the covering they were talking about, this is a shade that they're looking for, something to protect from rain. And another group bench.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of organic.
Yeah, it is.
You know, imagine surrounded by planting.
Yeah.
That's what I have for you tonight.
Thank you.
It's
cool.
That's really cool. So what are you guys thinking along which line or foundation? We have three of them, right?
Just
four?
Four.
Four in the budget. Four in the budget.
And we do have indestructible table tennis tables that we can...
I really like the concept of thinking about, like, again, I don't have a teenager, I have a 10-year-old. The idea of using a park to throw a ball, kick a ball, do some sort of sports, run around, and then having an area to sit and hang out and relax afterwards. Just, it, you see a lot of the relaxing, but the fact that we have a lot of green space there and taking advantage of both, I think is a great concept. So I in particular enjoy the idea of let the field be this open green space where the kids can do what they want and then have a place dedicated for, you know.
That's what they actually said.
Chilling. Oh, well, good. I'm glad I think like a teenager. But to me, it seems like that is kind of a win. And if you think about what the neighbors are saying about, you know, we heard a bunch of feedback from some neighbors. Like, they don't want people, which I don't quite understand, doing exercise pods and doing this and doing that. I tend to not agree with that, but I do like the idea of at least having one area where people can congregate and sit and, you know, take advantage of the grass and then take advantage of a seating area that's comfortable. My personal take.
What I liked about some of those things is they function in a couple ways. Right. Like some of those exercise things, like that you could go up and down, could also be for seating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know. And they're very unobtrusive. They're sort of almost sculptural in their in their visual presentation, which I think is going to be an issue in Glencoe. People, you know, they take in, you know, something, and so I think that it's not so directed how it's used. It's there, and then you use it as you mm-hmm. care to.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And there were several in there. I couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
Several of
them. But it's
ideas.
A direction.
Right, and
there are no bars or mm-hmm. machinery.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is going to be a harder sell. And quite honestly, you said something in a meeting that resonated. We were getting all, we saw some fitness equipment, and you said, I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be caught dead on that. And I thought, you're right, I wouldn't either. There's something about being publicly, like, doing an exercise that just... I'm never going to do
like
that.
I'm not very good at chin-ups, I don't want to
and I'm certainly not going to show everybody going down the street.
Down
the it just occurred to me, you're right.
I'd like to provide some more nuance on my comment, because I think we have slightly different interpretations of that. And this is, I emailed Lisa about this morning when I read the notes. I don't... I don't think I was necessarily saying I would never use exercise pods, but I, as I recall, we were looking at some that were like neon pink and purple, and I was like, well, I would not be caught dead on that. I don't look good in neon pink. I just think it's a question of like what's tasteful within the sort of oak savanna that's at the northern end, or, you know, what's just the ones we were looking at didn't look tasteful to me. So
the balance beam looked really cool. Just trying to recollect how they did
that. Those jumping boxes.
The jumping boxes. All of those things could be used by lots of different ages in lots of different ways.
Yeah,
they could be seated.
Could you go back to the quote that you have, the simple, elegant?
No.
Because that really struck a chord with me, and that could help us.
Well, we were thinking of Glencoe, you know?
Of course.
Green and brown in the playgrounds.
Well, let's see.
Forward and ankle.
Is that this?
Because a couple.
There you go. Yeah. Tasteful, simple, easy to use, high quality. So that does it for me.
I think the question we need to probably, I'm thinking about this is like putting my work hat on. It's like you have 3 to 4 different pods out there. I think we need to think of, is there a theme along these, or do we want sort of 4 separate ones? Because I think you could actually, once we answer that question, you can kind of get better direction over here. I personally don't really have a viewpoint on that. I could be swayed either way, but I do think that's sort of the first step in understanding what we want. Do you want 4? Do you want to, either way, you'll hit the tastefully simple, easy use, high quality, enjoyable, but do you want exercise pod, game area, rest area,
seating area?
Is that what this board wants, or do you want 4 exercise pods, or 4 seating areas, or 4 rest areas? And once you kind of answer that question, I think it will help determine or give these guys a better idea of what would sort of more naturally flow together.
Yeah, just integrating what you said, Michael, with the comment about the exercise pods. I struggle a little bit with that exercise pod at Shelton, which is on a route that I frequently run on. Because I feel like if I'm going out for a run, I don't necessarily want to do strength training, right? So if I'm going to run 4 miles, I don't want to do, 5 exercise pods too, right? I might do 4 or 5 exercise pods with a 1.5 or 2 mile run, right? So if we were to put like 1 exercise pod up there.
And an ambulance at the other end of people like me.
Right. I just think it would be like, again, it would be I've already run 2.5 miles by the time I get there. I don't know.
It's all, what you showed us all, to me, they all integrated well with each other. They all had sort of a natural look to them. The wood, the curves, the interesting angles of the balance. So divorcing that from the traditional notion of the Shelton type equipment, just for eliminating that from the equation completely, and just thinking, many of these, you could pick 4 of any of these, I think,
this could be a seating pod.
100%, absolutely, and then the seating ones that where there were 2, like, curves that kind of went together in seating.
I love that one.
And the kids would jump and jump.
Because it could be used for that, really. I could see it being used for that. Or
kids sitting on the
top. Sitting or kids jumping.
Yeah.
And
This is probably a good way of doing it. Things, go through it again, things that you like.
Yeah.
I like the natural and what I'll call of the earth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Materials, you may remember, they're not long-lived either, though.
Concrete.
I thought you meant wood. The wood ones.
Chess tables?
No, but like if, when you speak, I think I agree with Dudley on the concrete, if it's sort of softly shaped, like the push-up seating pod, that seems nice, but like these very rectangular chess tables.
Oh, that's a good question.
I felt like, oh, that just would be out of place in that sort of organic park.
This one, yeah.
That's just too rectilinear.
Okay.
A little modern.
I love it. See, this is where we go, you know, but I also love all the others.
I love the idea of, I like the idea of a chess table. Actually, what you didn't show and what I've seen in a park in Houston that was phenomenal and also helps stop stealing of the chess equipment is actually a giant chess board.
Oh, yeah. They have one of those in Atlanta. Yeah. Did you say Atlanta?
No, it was in Houston. They have
them everywhere. They have them everywhere.
Right.
There's one in IIT.
Yeah,
but you know this kind of thing you bring your own.
Oh, is there IIT?
You don't.
Right, this one you bring your own.
You bring your own.
You know, you have in the large ones people would steal them, I suppose, over time. But they're But a large chessboard, like where kids can, you know, dance on it or do whatever they want on it, but you can also play chess on it. But yeah, I think it ultimately comes down to if you want to have a theme or you want to have sort of four different ones.
It goes also with the yoga platform. Dancing,
yes.
Chess, or whatever.
Yes. Platform of some kind would be very cool, I think.
Mm-hmm. Is this the kind of time...
We don't have enough space for that.
Yeah.
That big chess thing?
Yeah.
Or a
we
big
should
yoga
group one. Then, four things that we think would go together.
Yes.
Like a couple of different varieties.
Mm-hmm.
As a...
Let them choose a set.
Set. See if it makes sense. Like, if there is a platform, then, you know... Is there table tennis over there as well? So there's an activity, the ball, the grass, and then there's a place for all the kids to hang out. But is it a flat
a good idea.
Or is it one of the ones like this?
And adults to hang out.
I
like that.
See, also, I think some of these could be instead of the
normal benches.
Don't forget we have regular benches along the entire trail.
Yes.
Exactly. So maybe some of these can be exchanged.
To put in there, yeah.
Can we rely on the designers
that's just what I'm thinking,
to bring?
Well, that's what she because we're
it's
no,
not them. We're not designers.
We're not in
all of our own personal biases against modern versus.
And we're not
whatever.
In a hurry to do this.
Yeah.
Remember, this isn't finance. This is just design. So we have time if they want to come back and bring like she just said, different sets of different things.
Things that count.
Yeah, yeah.
I like this. I mean, not
like,
the main,
is that like the Jens Jensen circular?
But like, just from the visual standpoint, it looks great.
The one on the
so
top.
So I want to comment on the one on the right.
It's a
I think there's a natural area of planting that's contemplated, right?
The trailheads have plantings, and there is some select plantings along the trail, but it's not like a specific area. We could sprinkle something like this in, right?
I thought there was one area.
There
where
is one but on this by the
there's
center.
That's correct. You're right. You're right.
So I kind of, well, if you were going to put a seating area, like just to put it in the middle of the lawn somewhere seems boring and nobody would go there. But if it was next to the native planting, whether maybe like you integrate the idea of people are playing ball at Sunken Park, and there's a bench there that is sort of, you know, that there's one that's a zigzag.
Yeah.
That could also be kind of a visual divider between the natural area and the sunken.
The one on the right?
No, I'm not sure if that was it or not.
Because that can also serve as spectator seating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
If it had the plants behind it, the flowering, well flowered.
So it's someplace to sit as you, if you want to sit down and take a break from your run, or you want to watch kids playing a game, or kids who are done playing the game want to sit on a bench.
And adults are going to be using this too, right? So
right.
You sort of just not just think about families and teenagers, but also think about our adult population.
The adults
will
be
using this.
Yeah.
You anchored us with the teens, though. Mm-hmm.
They're the probably
like
the most
underrated.
The
least served.
Yeah.
I don't like these.
Why, Josh?
I just can't imagine myself lying down on that.
Oh.
Enough for you?
I can see the kids.
Well, I thought we had already done.
Would you consider?
We just spent $270,000 on a playground for those kids. So maybe teenagers would sit on this, that's fine, but I think we could do something that both teenagers and adults would find attractive.
Okay.
Yeah. What did you think of the wood one that was similar to that?
The one up in the...
The one that kind of goes back.
It's like a fish skeleton.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like the ones in Cambridge.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's way back.
I love that.
Yeah, I love it. So beautiful.
Very cool.
It's not going to be that color except for the first year, and then it's going to be gray.
Gray, right.
That is true.
Right.
But
that doesn't look that practical or comfortable, honestly.
I don't know.
I kind of like the benches.
I like the German benches. Those are very cool.
Which ones?
The ones where you can either run up and down them or do push-ups on them or like run along it, do a balance beam on it. Those seem more practical.
Yeah.
What about the traditional Glencoe swing bench?
Yeah, people love them. They use them a lot.
I think we have very popular.
We've got
one in Cock Park, right?
They're very popular.
I think we have some in the
swing bench, they don't look like that. But
anyway. No, they don't look like that. That's really nice because there's shade on it. That is a nice one.
They do have
a shade. It's not in Pines Park, right? This one there. Not as wooden as that, right? It's a little more metallic.
That one slide looks like a Jensen council ring.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Very nice.
We have one.
Yeah.
Nobody uses it.
We have one. Nobody uses it.
I don't think we're going to get teenagers reading books there and doing their homework there like we want. A, you can only really do that 3 or 4 months of the year, and it's not when school's in session. But B, I do like the idea of having a place for picnics, because I just don't think that people, like if you actually think about it now with the ground being so wet, you don't want to always bring a blanket. So I kind of like, I think you showed one of them with just, you know, traditional tables out there where you can have picnics or play games. I think that could be incorporated somehow. But again, I'll leave that up to you guys to come up with themes and think about it.
No, this is important.
I just don't see people, if you're going to make this for teenagers, they're going to want to sit there and hang out on their phone sometimes. And that's not conducive to that.
Wait, what is not conducive to hanging out?
Why not? Because they can't look at each other and say, hey, did you see this on Instagram? No, they can. You know,
they could climb on that thing. That's our problem. I think we all have these preconceived ideas.
Yeah.
I think we're going to leave it.
Let the designers.
I think the flower.
Does
that. Yeah, the flower one does that. That's true.
I like the idea of the scale change with that bench.
I do too.
Which one?
Yeah, even just
the
one
scale
of those.
Change.
That's wild.
Yeah.
The big. People love that.
Okay.
And I like
it. Like sculpture park next to the sculpture.
Yeah, put it in the sculpture park. I would like to see one that looks like our regular park benches. That'd be hilarious.
So how do they get up there? We put it in the giant.
They all managed it.
Same way that every kid gets on top of that Melvin Brothers sign.
Those kids are older.
That's the first step of the flowers.
every single kid goes on top of that sign at Melvin Berlin.
Yes, that's correct. They first step in the flowers.
We put these in
now
schools.
Like it's not
oh, that's nice. Very nice.
Better that than on top of the dugouts.
That's very nice.
Those are dope.
Now, those don't necessarily have to be white either, do they?
It comes in black or white.
Or beige. Oh, that's kind of cool.
And you can move them around to form whatever grouping you want.
Ah,
really? How heavy are they?
Cool. Oh, no.
You
have to use them.
Okay. Yeah.
Cooperate.
Yeah,
oh.
Those are
kind of
cool.
I get it.
Just move them right out into the street.
Chris needs his.
So we have some of that. We'll do that. So.
That's right.
Those are cool.
It's a cool concept that you can actually change it every year, right? If Chris wants to invest in that.
Why stop it yearly?
Now
you're thinking, Josh, weekly.
This is what I thought.
I thought this was very clever.
I don't understand how this stops kids from putting their feet on the bench, though.
It doesn't. I didn't get that either.
But I like the idea that you can have people sitting, and this is what I was talking about before. Like, if you can basically,
I think that's
way,
so
it's
cool.
Kind of modular.
Isn't it cool?
It's not. That's not going to happen. But
I like it too.
I like that.
The long bench.
Because that's what it actually.
I do. I love that.
That looks.
Yeah.
real.
And they can use whatever. Mm-hmm. Look at them.
I like the rails. Real. I like those.
I really like that.
Me too.
It's different.
Yep.
And it's understated.
And it's linear. Mm-hmm. So some of the real narrow parks that we have, mm-hmm. you could put this in and it wouldn't be like, you know,
right.
just...
I don't see somebody saying that that's made my homework less money because it's in the park over
yes,
there.
Yes, exactly.
Right? I mean, it's not obnoxious.
The nice thing about mm-hmm. something really linear like that is I do think it would sort of echo both the railroad tracks and
right.
that structure, which is very linear.
Exactly, yeah.
I like that.
You put some
but there again,
stands
again,
around
that
it.
Could just be a bench.
You know, okay, so we'll just massage the budget.
Yeah, I always do that, you know, just make, Carol gets the old printing press out and starts printing money up in the back and...
can't we just...
What about this with, say, some of the exercise things nearby?
Yeah.
That you make a group?
Sure.
Like what do you mean exercise things, like the benches and...
You know, like the balance... jiggle or the round circle.
No. So we've already eliminated those.
No, just sort of like
the balance beam and the boxes or the that round one. I really like that round one too.
Yeah, which round one?
The they had four
different
of them.
Heights. Yeah, I like that too. And I really like the balance beam. Kids love.
Adults love that.
Yes, adults love it.
I think that with the exception of Sunken Park, there's a lot of. There's a lot of shade already.
Yeah.
So it's okay.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you. Yeah.
I love that.
I like that.
Kind of goes back to that labyrinth idea, John.
Yeah. So just put a little bit. That just made
it kind of reminds
agree.
Me of your labyrinth concept.
Yes, it does. There we go. Is that a single
echo?
Where no one will see
height.
It from above. Just remember that.
Yeah, I know.
It looks like it's a single height.
Yeah. Okay.
It's single.
All cement? Okay. Is that made of cement too?
I think it's neat, but it's too big.
But there are precast ones from Escafette.
This?
Not exactly like that, but long curved pieces that mm-hmm. could be smaller.
But also, I mean, we can have Dodie make anything.
That's
true. And it depends on the space that you're filling. I mean, I don't even have it in my head exactly where these things are going to go. There's some.
If you added trees around that, it could be fascinating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seems like we're all looking towards the more artsy ones, which actually I think helps sell it internally.
Yeah.
I think a shelter, for instance, does not seem so artsy. If you think about it now, we have artsy too.
We have sculptures there already.
That people, you know, already think of as kind of an artistic
thing. You know, it has to be palatable, you're so right to especially the neighbors, but just, you know, make this Glencoe.
Like if you think about a big bench as kind of that scale thing, it's a kind of an art thing.
It's artsy,
This is artsy. The other bench that you liked is very, you know, that linear theme and kind of fits in.
And I think it's, people are coming along this trail, strolling, walking, cruising slowly. Gives them a reason to kind of jump off and just hang out. I mean, isn't that part of this too, that you're going through it and using some of this space?
Exactly.
We did that giant bench, I think it would be really fun to put it at the far northern end.
And force them to walk there.
You'd be coming down the Green Bay Trail. You don't know what's going to happen. And all of a sudden there's this giant bench.
That would be funny.
It would totally be attractive and people would get
every
a
time
chuckle.
You see
and
something like that. Whether I saw it in Montreal or some other places, people.
It's smiling.
Yeah, oh, they love
this
it.
Makes
take
you,
pictures on it.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's hilarious that they like
Kodak
pictures.
Owned.
Right,
of that.
Right, absolutely. And also, that's the camp drop-off. So
yeah,
gives them some. But that's also something to consider.
Yep.
Placement is considering camp drop-off.
Yeah.
Places where they would
where
get
they are already
used out of these things.
Love it.
And it wouldn't be outrageously expensive, I would think, to have just one of those benches.
But remember, these are donor items. So maybe there's someone out there that really loves.
That's a good idea.
A big bench.
On that bench.
About what?
How much would it cost to make something?
It would probably be the same price as one of the pods. So we have a range, and on average, they're about $6,000-$7,000 a piece for those exercise pods.
Yeah.
A regular bench. Installed is around two and a half, so that could probably be 4, 5, 6.
Yeah.
Okay, seems valuable.
Yeah.
So it's within the range of what we priced the pot for. But we, don't forget, we also have a bunch of benches along the path priced in as well.
The one
I was thinking more in the terms of a donation.
Oh.
Right, that's what we were talking about.
These are donations. Yes.
Plus, because the bench is four times as big, your name is four times as big.
Oh, it's a big donor plaque on it.
Big ego, big bench, yes.
Okay.
So do you feel...
We can sell a regular bench for $4,000. Imagine what we can sell that one for.
Now you're thinking. Do you think you have enough sort of a notion of...
Getting there.
So that you can do your design...
The only question I have, since we didn't see any, what about the cornhole, bocce, ping pong?
I think cornholes are bad.
Okay.
I'm not excited about it. We spend time with our grandchildren often over in that park in downtown Winnetka, where they have the ping pong and the throwing things. And
they have ping
I've
pong
never
in downtown?
Seen any either one of them used.
They have ping pong in downtown Winnetka?
Yes.
They have bocce.
They have bocce.
No. I'm thinking of where the bookstore is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there.
Behind the post office.
Okay.
They have table tennis.
Yeah, because you know why? No one's ever carrying their table tennis brackets with them.
Well, no, they wouldn't randomly go.
I love doing cornhole, but there's not many times where I'm willing to walk around with six bean bags.
Right.
It's not a spontaneous sport.
Well, no,
right.
You'd have to have it there, and you can't have it there all the time.
I mean, the chess players, the serious chess players, they will walk around with their...
Yeah. My boys play chess.
They don't exist.
Well, people professional... By the way, there is professional cornhole on TV, an actual tournament. But I'm thinking more like casual play. What about the chess table idea? I mean, you could... tuck that away in anywhere. I think it's sweet. And I think there's a lot of people who do like to play chess and checkers.
Can you make it, can you find one that's more interesting, like not as modern, but more
I love the chess table.
Artistic?
I love
organic.
Modern.
Organic is the Dudley word.
Are there
so maybe
parks,
there's something out there that we can find.
Yeah. Are there parks that have just one, or do you have to have sort of like three or four?
They tend to have a few together. It becomes a club,
right?
And you know the people, and then you play them, and who's coming up, and who's winning,
true.
Who's not.
But the library has a chess club, a chess tournament every Monday night or Tuesday night. People go up there and they play chess in the library here. It's indoors. You get them out there, but one
could
table
may not. Them?
What?
Could we talk
to them? We should
to
talk
them?
To the library about that, actually.
Find out if
they had.
I only know that because my son plays chess, and he likes to watch people over there play chess. In the back room, they have chess there.
In the back room.
That's amazing for young people's minds.
Find out.
Can you have a chess club?
A bocce court in Hubbard Woods.
Yeah. They have two.
It seems very lightly used.
Have you ever seen it?
It lights up at night, too.
We've seen the same problem with the ones we've seen.
Okay.
It's
all right. So that's easy.
It's not a watch.
I mean, it's pretty, but you're right. And
unless you've got to know
you drive there.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding? It's a million watts.
What's interesting is now in the city they're having leagues at the bars, so I think that's probably what they're trying to. But that's a totally different atmosphere. When you're at a bar and you have four blow up bocce carts, it's more fun than
An urban dwelling lend itself more to that activity, but
so probably look for more.
And the yoga outdoor exercise class platform.
You said it was a space constraint issue, right?
Well, I don't know that that's a fact, but that would be...
Yeah, but everybody who wants to do yoga in Glencoe does it on the pier.
They do.
Yeah, they do down on the beach,
I mean, there's so many people doing yoga down there in the morning. We have
50 people potentially down there.
So you're saying that because they do it on the pier, if you had a platform in that area, no one would go there?
Yeah, I don't think they would.
I mean,
do
I don't know. I don't think I would do
yoga right up, and people are going down Old Green Bay Road. I think that's...
Okay, you don't want a yoga platform. Got it.
I just don't think anybody would use it. I don't think anybody's going to go out there.
I don't know.
Not out there with your leotard.
Because, if it was in the middle of, like Justin, if it was like in the middle of a grove of trees or plantings or something, maybe, but if it's like there next to a trail and cars going by and nosy. And
no, I mean, you would.
We built a wall in the fitness center so people couldn't see us stretching.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it would not be used for yoga.
Okay.
It would be used by the teens.
I think so.
To lay in the sun when the ground is soggy.
I think so too.
That's what.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want a sunning platform?
We had rooms on the bluff in one of those.
Why not? Kids have to have someplace to go, right?
We had those circular decks.
Nothing wrong with that.
We could bring that next time.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you remember them?
That's fine.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, yeah.
And that's great.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah.
Great input. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any other?
I have a comment. It doesn't relate directly to the content of the park, but I'm not excited about the name Connect Glencoe. Doesn't do much.
That has nothing to do with them.
We used it for
our grants because it was a good name for our grants. Because when you say we're connecting one part of the trail to another part of the trail, and you're bringing the community together, it's a nice sell. So that's why we used that.
So it's sort of an
unofficial. I don't think we're proposing that to be park name.
What?
That wasn't a proposed park name.
Oh, that's not a park name.
That's not the park name.
Oh, no.
That's a grant used name.
Okay. It's not. We're not calling the parks that.
Okay. They could eat. Or if you want to try to explain what we're talking about and say, you know, connect.
Yeah, so but it's not the name of the park.
Okay, when you donate $500,000, you can choose the name.
Josh, why stop at $500,000?
All right. Thank you very much for coming out. I appreciate it.
Well, go do your thing. I love those ideas.
Josephine, John, thank you very much.
Really interesting.
Great.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
We're delighted.
I mean, as always.
Thank you. Can I help you out?
Thanks, John.
Can I?
And you all heard about the bias whales?
Oh, they're looking awesome.
Go
back.
Chris, tell them what you saw this morning.
You know me, I'm always a fan of plantings wherever they are, and I was, you know, in the beginning with the bioswale.
He wasn't a fan.
You know, I was like,
they aren't going to work.
I was walking by in the morning, and there was like 100 or so honeybees just dancing across the top of them. And at the same time, there was all these giant butterflies. And, you know,
and then the frogs, don't forget about the frogs.
Around, and I was like, oh, well, you know, they did a good job, it works, you know.
It works.
Those are
the dragonflies are in there too, which means the water's really clean.
Actually, you guys did a wonderful job on those bioswales. I haven't seen any look that good.
Yeah, they look good.
Awesome.
They look good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
They really do.
Well, and you know, 35 inches of rain will do that too.
Yeah, the rain might have helped, but
well done.
Just cool. Go.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, now on to something far more depressing.
Far more depressing.
We are going to begin our discussion on our 3-year capital projects plan from 69. Lisa?
All right. So, as you recall, the 2021 year has already been determined. So next year's we're done pretty much with next year's plan because you've already voted for the Old Green Bay Linear Park Trail, Lincoln Crescent Playground renovation, and the interactive water features. So those are done deal, and we're moving ahead. Other expenses in 2021 include ADA improvements, take-up roof, sinking fund, design fees for a following year project, and fundraiser consultant. So we're really looking at 2021-22 projects, and we're hoping to have, after we discuss this for however long it takes, have a solid 3-year plan that we don't switch every year. So that way we have a plan, and the only thing we'll discuss is what to add on to that 4th year, or, you know, so the 3-year stay and we add something on, that's what our discussion will be, so that we can get in the habit of designing 1 year and then building next. And I think we're through the phase of having to design and build the same year because our stuff is falling apart. We're now planning so that we can have design 1 year, build the other year, and have a solid plan going forward. So that's where we're trying to get to. So staff prepared this 5-year condition assessment on pretty much all of our inventory is on there. But we just want to just explain a couple things for clarification. So Fund 69, and that's what we're discussing now. That's our Fund 69 capital projects master plan project list. Is projects exceed 200,000 and are identified in the master comprehensive plan, our ACG plan, which remembers our fixed asset replacements, and our ADA transition plan. Our Fund 65 projects are typically under 200,000 or less, and our operational replacements, so equipment, vehicles, maintenance items, and technology. We'll begin discussing those in October. So I want to give you the timeline of what this discussion will take place. So you know you're not making a decision today. It's actually your decision's way down the line. Today we're going to review this five-year condition assessment. You can ask any questions. August board meeting, we'd like to do a parks tour, so we'll start the meeting actually at Watts because this building's under our annual maintenance cleaning. We'll pass a few action items, and then we'll get in the park district bus and we'll take you some of these assets. We'll probably avoid any of our new ones because you've seen those. We'll concentrate on the ones that we're looking for that are more in the dire one and two categories. And then September we'll begin discussion of prioritizing our items for the fiscal year 21-22, 22-23, and 23-24 for Fund 69. And then that discussion will probably take until March, to be honest with you, to finalize that. And then we're in no big hurry because, again, we've already discussed 2021. And then in October, we'll also begin discussion on Fund 65 projects. And we'll be bringing kind of a same kind of assessment for those so you guys kind of have an idea what staff goes through when they assign what we're going to replace in 65. That's usually staff, really staff-driven accounts. It's kind of our what we call keep our lights on and keep our programs running. And then in hopefully February, March area, when by the time we're passing our budget, we'll approve this capital plan. Okay, so this comes now to this document, and we gave you a big copy here so you could see a little bit better. And I just want to bring your attention to the top of it, which is the grid. So I'm going to start from the bottom and go up. So what number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 mean. So number 1, which is the red dot, means that amenities is at the end of its useful life. We don't think it'll be more than, it only has 5% or less left. Number 2 dot, which is also red dot, it's near its end of its useful life, but there's a duplication in our inventory. So, for example, Milton Park, for example, is at the very close to the end of its useful life, but we have duplication playgrounds in our inventory, so that's why you got a level 2. Number 3 is amenities in generally good condition, may need repairs, renovations. Example of this may be Friends Park. It's the main structure is in good condition, but our port in place is failing, or other little pieces of equipment are failing. 4 is the amenity has life expectancy or greater than 6 years, so you're not going to see this as us working on replacing those. And the final one, the green one, we put a number 5 because that's a new amenity. Maybe it was identified in our master plan. Maybe it was a commissioner brought it up. Maybe a community member brought it up. Whatever. Something we don't have in our inventory now, so we put that as a green so that you realize that that's not part of it. So, right, green? Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Chris, I'm going to hand it over to you because I was doing a lot of talking there. And you can talk about how we divided these up and everything.
What we did was did a little bit of research and combined information from lots of different areas into one document. So you can see we delineated out each different, what we consider like major inventory category. We've created the installation date and the typical useful life of that amenity. Obviously, the useful life can be impacted by use, site conditions, how well we've maintained it over its life, and then we gave it a professional staff condition assessment, which in some cases is a representation of the install date, the typical useful life, and how many years we're into that useful life. In other areas, we found that there are things that aged remarkably well. So while the Lakefront Playground was installed in 2001, it's in better condition than the Milton Park Playground. So we weren't going to just arbitrarily assign it a lower number because of actual conditions on the ground. So as you go through these, you'll see, obviously, we've used a lot of our resources in the last few years on playgrounds. So we've got a lot of bang for our buck there. And then as you go through it, you'll see, you know, we have some amenities that are functional but aren't in great shape. We also have under the estimated capital expenses TBD, and what that means is we really want to develop a scope. Like say for the West Pony Field, you know, we could do something as simple as replace the backstop and, you know, say, okay, that's the scope of the project. Or we could go all the way up to, you know, putting in drainage, you know, maybe we want to add a scoreboard, something like that. So that's really more of a scope-driven cost versus then just giving, you know, a blanket estimated cost. So at this point, do you guys have any questions about this?
Just so you also know, staff is recommending, because these are estimated, as Chris said, these are estimated capital expenses. We don't really know. We're just using our best guesstimate on these, and we've been pretty good when we know the scope of something, but we recommend that we do a design plan for each of the amenities that are approved for the three years or the year before, so we can give accurate numbers. So these are really just, we're guessing. And please, when you go down to that $8 million mark on the bottom, remember that's probably not really accurate because we have TBDs. So you're looking more that this $8 million is really between probably 10 and 13 million, just estimate. Because a ball field, the minimum could be, say, $500,000 to $1 million. The life expectancy of a baseball field is really about 10 years, we recently found out. So it's just has to do a lot with the turfs they use to dry the fields out and how it reacts to the clay. And you know, you have to go out and dig that stuff out and replace it every 10 years, they're recommending. So, you know, you could do it simple, or you could do it later or more extensive.
So one of the, I'll give an example. So under courts, the basketball and the tennis courts. So a lot of our courts are pretty old, but we've taken really good care, other than the lakefront court, which we all know has its challenges. We've actually invested a lot of resources into taking care of them. So, you know, while we have a court that was put in 1999, or say 1994, we're still saying it might have 15 to 20 years of useful life left. Wow. So I think, you know, to Lisa's point, it's making those small investments along the way versus, you know, getting to the point of the total tear out like we might be at West Park or the cooling floor at the ice rink, depending on what the survey comes back at. So the courts are, I think that's an area where we've shown some success. I know that we've recently had some negative feedback on lakefront, but, you know, considering that that's a duplicated asset, I think we're in pretty good shape there with the operational plan that we've put in place in the last 4 or 5 years. So,
do you guys have any questions about this?
I have some minor questions.
Please.
What is the crib wall that's referred to under Lakefront?
That's a good question.
It's a very good question.
If you're heading down the ramp, right as you pass the halfway house, there's like that Lincoln log wall.
Yeah.
That's the crib wall.
Is that?
TBD.
What is that? Park district or village?
That's what we still have to ascertain. We think it's both of ours.
I think so.
But the village may not agree with that. So we put in, you know, we have to really research that and figure out who is responsible for that.
It would be great to drop that off this, but I think at the point we're at, based on the Baird survey, you know, we wanted to include it.
Yeah.
As a worst case.
Because push comes to shove, if we don't have that cribble, we don't have that road down there, we can't operate the beach.
No.
So for us, it's a matter of life safety, right? If that bluff falls down, then we can't get an ambulance down there, and then we can't.
Nor will we have clean drinking water.
You're exactly right. So there's a benefit for both of us to work together on that.
Is there a corresponding revenue component to some of these out here? So if I look at the Watts over here, you've got, which is your single largest line item, you've got, you know, $2 million. You know, there is a revenue offset that comes with selling things at Watts, whereas at a
playground,
you don't have a revenue offset. Not that we should stop doing one and do the other one, but it helps to understand where the economics are.
But the revenue offset doesn't offset running the.
Yeah, so that's the problem. There is no, for Watts Ice Rink, there's no revenue offset. Yeah. We don't even,
just because
we
paid it.
There's a deficit,
but
so.
I actually disagree with that philosophy out there. You are still, with the $2 million, you get some of that back.
No, you don't.
You think it's
that's
complete
not the way it
waste.
Works. Yeah, we
it's
have
a,
we.
Lots
it costs us to run it.
Carol,
it's a deficit.
100%.
Yeah, I mean now that we're having our kids
even kids
program
there,
run
yeah.
out of it,
right.
we are.
That's where.
But it's making it up. But the ice operation, which again, the
is where the cost is. Yeah.
$1.2 million.
Yeah.
No.
It's
so
yeah.
never,
so you're saying the ice operations loses money.
Yeah.
There's no like depreciation
right.
in that.
Correct.
But Kids Club.
Yeah.
But Michael, you're right. Kids Club expansion would probably be an offset.
But that's not part of this, though.
Right here it is. This one right here.
If you were to not invest the $1.2 million,
yeah,
let's call the cooling floor $1.2 million and say it's all you needed. If you were to not invest that $1.2 million and you were to say, hey, we're closing down the ice rink, you would also not have, let's call it $100,000 in revenue.
Well,
it's
no.
more the political component.
No, I get that for what?
It's $100,000
yes. in revenue, yes. $250,000
in expense.
But
also $1,000 in operational.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's the
yeah.
issue.
That's
yeah.
what it is.
It's
that's
the variable cost
issue.
Of it that you're never going to get back.
Yeah. Yeah, but
and,
then
and
you also have to look at that is the park district when you're looking philosophically.
Like,
yeah.
there's no doubt. I just didn't realize that there were, that was, you know.
Yeah, I see what you're. I see what you're saying.
Yes.
But the Kids Club expansion, for example,
could offset
itself. If you, it's pretty much loaning the money to that program,
correct.
And over 10 years, that. The expansion probably could be paid back for.
But Kids Club, study.
Yeah.
We have to have.
Oh yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that. That's why it's a
yeah.
TBD.
But
we don't know that.
A lot of programming in that facility that people don't
but
realize.
But aren't we looking at two
exactly.
different things? We're looking at
no. We're looking at Watts, which
well,
is
no.
Both.
No. Like, allow me to finish my question. We're looking at $1.95 million. For something other than the Kids Club expansion, correct?
That's right.
So we're looking at two different things. So I feel that when we start talking about Kids Club, we're talking about TBD, which is not
right.
even in here.
Right.
That's so that's
right.
so that doesn't help
no,
me
not.
With the 1.95
right.
decision. Is there any benefit to maybe, I mean, I find this to be a very complicated decision to make.
Yes.
Is there
we're not making a decision today.
No, just the process
okay.
of thinking through this. Is there any benefit to having maybe a consultant help us work through this issue? Because it's so
what
much
issue?
Money, and
you
it's for...
Do, you could always do an advisory referendum if you wanted to get... But you're looking more professional than community, right? The community is going to say we want an ice rink. The question is that...
Well, maybe they will.
Well, costs, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the... I think
there would be a lot of blowback if you said we're closing Watts.
Mm-hmm. Well, ultimately, we'll have to choose to prioritize Watts over other infrastructure.
And I don't know if people realize how much this... I mean, of course, I would say I want Watts too, but if someone said, well, it's going to be $2 million, maybe I'd look at it differently, you know?
In 2000, that's what they did, and it was an overwhelming yes.
Yes, we want to keep it.
$2
million. Yep. They
so
that was
it was a referendum vote, and at
so,
that time,
yes,
it
they
nice
need to do
if
that.
You bring it, if you bring it to a referendum, then you're not going to make the decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I don't know
right.
how to think about it.
I don't know how to think about it either. I want to make sure I appreciate the fact that the operational expenses are overwhelmingly cash negative.
Mm-hmm.
So that I didn't understand.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. That helps.
I understand why you're saying it's difficult. I think it's because it's just such a big number. But for me, the question that is difficult is like, well, is the cooling floor going to break like next week and you're going to come and say, we need $2 million? Or is it going to last five more years? Or is that an unknowable question?
Well, I think that's you're thinking just the way we're thinking.
Yep,
and so
you are.
What we're working on right now is... bringing in a professional engineer to give us an assessment because, you know, there's always going to be some gray area. I mean, because it is an outdoor facility,
right.
it is impacted by the weather, you know, changing ground conditions, and I know that sounds like a disclaimer, but I think
it's kind
once
of like an old car.
Correct.
Right.
Once we know...
You always keep pouring more money into maintenance, but at some point you decide it's... Yeah,
it's time to get a new
one. It's never cheaper in the short run to say, well, I'm just going to buy a new car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can always fix the car for cheaper. But the question is, am I going to have to invest $1,000
sure.
every other month?
Sure. Well, and I think that the point of having the engineering survey is to say, definitively, beyond just the service technicians and our experience in the field, this equipment has XYZ more operating years on it. Because we may find, you know, they may say, okay, well, we know your dasher boards are toast, but, you know, let's put the compressors out 4 years and let's put the cooling floor out 15.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's not a total renovation.
Right.
Maybe it's a phased, right. You know, maybe we can, there's three compressors. They don't all have to be done at the same time.
Right.
You know, maybe there's an, and I think that that's where bringing in a professional firm to give us that roadmap, because the, to us, I think at the staff level, it's putting all the worst case numbers in a list.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
kind of managing that triage from that point out.
So that's why you said we like we want to design each component so we can get extra figure so it doesn't, you don't say, oh, I'm not doing that, it costs 1.8. Well, maybe it won't be. So that's why we're working with Architect Now to look at those actual costs so that when you're making that decision, you know what it actually costs.
I think that's super smart, and I also want to commend you guys on this list. This is super helpful.
Great.
Thank you.
Very visual.
It's hard to take a look at things in full, and the coding is really helpful for me too. The John, is his name Frias over at the Writers Theater?
Ferris,
yeah. He reminded me that we have land over there.
Yeah, it's our park, yeah.
It's not on the list.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is.
There's no improvement.
Oh, it's not for improvement.
The retaining wall's on there.
Yeah, the retaining wall's on there.
The retaining wall's on there. They would like to do more, but of course they would want us to pay for it.
Well, I'm sorry. Do you remember when Phil came to the meeting the other night, a couple months ago?
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about that. Debt Park, remember?
Well, they talked about potentially
finding a donor, not sharing costs, finding a donor for it, because that would be activating a passive space into something that never has been active. So, you know, that would be something I made very clear to Writers Theater and to the village that we would be looking for a donor for that project, because that's a new amenity that we don't have the money for.
Okay.
So it's not on here. The only thing that's on here on that one is fixing the retaining wall.
Yeah.
So we could add that.
We could add that as a donor project.
As a donor project, we could we can add that one.
Okay.
You know, one thing that
would make sense.
Yeah, we could add that.
Well, that's thank you, Josh. That is an issue because we say donor, but people who want a dog park say, why do we need a donor? Why wouldn't the park district support this, and why wouldn't they pay for it? With all this other stuff.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So we have to be very sensitive to that perspective. And
we didn't say new. Oh, it is
yes,
a donor here, but it's a new
donor.
Amenity.
Yes.
I guess that's what we're.
Yeah. But it's barreling down at us.
Have you guys seen the no dog park signs all over
Wynnette? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been to one of your meetings.
Oh, yeah.
But you're right, we could take off donor off there, but
I'm so scared. You have no idea. No, it was.
And I hope the maintenance center doesn't cost $3 million.
Well, there that
But going back to that, we could add 14N to that. We could, I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of people that said, I want to do something next to my property, and it's just a passive park now, and we have no plans. I mean, when you look at our total infrastructure of all the stuff we have, and that we can't maintain, it's hard to go back and say we're going to put a new amenity in when we have over $10 million worth of assets that we don't even have money to maintain.
So
I guess to go back to our referendum in our bond issuance discussion 2 weeks ago. Right now is a
very timely, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I wouldn't recommend a referendum, but bond issuance.
Bond issuance, you can do that.
Yeah. I'm not sure I understood what you were saying. About
14N. Oh, 14N is that would to activate that park to make it more than just a passive park, which is just park land right now, and that's what it always has been. I would recommend that be a donor item. So we could add it on here as 14N, new donor item.
That's
because
basically the park that's the front yard of Writers Theater.
Right.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah.
No, I understand it, I agree. That would be a good idea.
I can add it to here and just say, because we've been in talks and it was very clear, and I didn't talk to John Ferris, I talked to he's the artistic director, so I talked to, what's her name? The one the executive director, I forgot her name right now. But anyways, we've been in talks with her. And there's been a couple times that there was a donor asking about it and stuff like that. But that would be a donor item, I think. Because what value does it have for the Park District? It has a lot for Writers Theater, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure they can find a donor to activate that one.
To me, that's a little more straightforward. Yeah. Dog park may be it barking at our heels. So,
but again, that's something
right now we got nothing.
That's something you have to talk about.
Yes.
Okay, so if you're willing to do a dog park, what are you willing to get rid of?
There you go.
Those are hard discussions you have. So, okay, if you're going to say I want to do a dog park, say it costs $600,000 or something, are you prepared to say, okay, we will not have Milton or Lakefront, because that's what you're looking at, or we might have to take out Lakefront tennis courts, or you know, there's other things on there that would people want a dog park over Watts? I mean, those are all the hard questions that you guys have to answer. That's a totally new amenity. And the reason it's down as a donor is because the board has always said before that that would have to be a donor item. So that's why it's that donor, because that's what was told. I know, a lot to think about, right?
A lot to think
because
about. So what are the walk us through the steps of this thinking.
Oh, so what we do is we're going to go look at all the assets in person, and then come September, you're going to sit down and start prioritizing, which plugging them into the dollar amounts we have. Say, is it $1 million, Carol, a year?
It's relatively $1 million.
$1 million. Okay, which projects
without
we do?
Without doing the bond issue, obviously we can do the bond issue, but with the bond issue, you're required to spend it within 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you can sell the bonds and then, oh, I'm going to use it in 5 years. You have to have pretty good understanding of what you're going to use that for.
Right.
Pay down
okay.
requirements. Or you pay a penalty to the IRS.
That's good. That's a good point. So we have to know those projects.
Make sure we are pretty set on what projects we're going to do.
And the
ballpark of the dollars too.
It's right around $4 million right now.
What we're talking about? $4 million.
It's right around that. You know, the more rates go down, obviously it's more money. But now our EAB went down, so the maximum. For the limit, the debt limit also went down accordingly. So,
what about? I know we're getting in consultants, donor consultants, and what about more public-private partnerships for some of these, like the athletic fields or Watts? Is there any suggestion that we may get the stakeholders to be part of this?
We haven't done any of that yet, nor has anybody approached us except for one person, possibly donating to a playground. So.
Right.
I would not count on that, and
no.
I said that from day one, that you should not base your inventory or your asset replacement on potential donors, because we, through the history of here, we've only seen a couple take up in Berlin come through, right, in the 100-year history. So I wouldn't count on that. Significant ones, there's been smaller ones, but I wouldn't count on that. That's what the first person, that first thing we're going to do is actually reach out to people and see if there's any interest in donating to the Park District, but I don't think I would count on that.
Lisa, do you think you could find some articles or a speaker or something that would address the question, which, let me see if I can frame this correctly. No resident of Glencoe uses all of the park facilities, or certainly they don't use them all equally, right?
Correct.
So, for instance, an older resident could claim, I never use the playgrounds. I don't know why we're paying for those. I just want you to invest money in tennis courts.
Correct.
Right? And somebody else could say, well, we don't play hockey, so why, and we don't ice skate, and so why are we spending money on Watts? Right? And so everybody always is, park districts always have to be balancing that issue.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you make thoughtful decisions in a sort of ethical and structured and logical way when every amenity has, like, you know, a contribution that it makes to the finances, or some don't in terms of playgrounds. But you just feel like some of them you have to have, or maybe the just assumption is you have to have it, like playgrounds, but the degree to which you have to have them is open for discussion.
I think that it's really our community-wide survey that we did with our master plan. That's what's driving our whole capital plan, is what people wanted in our master plan and when they did the survey.
Mm-hmm. It's driven the new amenities. I mean, it drove the fitness center.
It's driven not only the new amenities, but also our current amenities too, I would say.
What was that done?
It was done right when I came here, so 5 years ago.
That's a long 14. Time.
I mean, we could
dusty,
usually
running up to the point.
Usually they go for, they say, about 8 years or so. We could definitely do another community survey. They did both. They did phone calls mailed to the house. They did Mind Mixer. They did a whole. There's
by the
a
way,
whole.
This,
so,
this is yeah, but this is this. What the investments that you that have been made in the past 5 years have been based off of, at least they've been based off of member and members, but community feedback.
Community feedback, without a doubt. So that's where justified the Old Green Bay Linear Trail because of that master plan. So that's where it's coming from. And it's just like schools. Some people, and my kids are no longer in school, but they understand the benefit of having a good school district to your house values. I think a lot of people understand the value of having a good park district to your house values, or good parks to your house values also.
I think the question where it really becomes difficult, though, is let's take it to the dog park example that Lisa brought up. That was, I think, second or third on that community survey after trails and nature areas or something like that, right? So it makes sense that we're having the discussion now.
Right.
But when you're talking about adding new amenities that are going to have ongoing operational costs in addition just to the capital costs and using that capital to not maintain something else, at some point you have to start asking questions about, okay, yeah, I could use our money to buy a dog, to build a dog park, but that means that three of our playgrounds are going to fall apart.
Right. Today's capex is tomorrow's opex.
Well, this.
Exactly.
You have to always put in there. Now that
or it's tomorrow's deferred capex.
Yes. Right. But that means you can close down something like, not that I'm saying you're going to do this, but you could say, you know what, let's get rid of Milton Park or something, like, and they don't have to maintain that. And those are the decisions that have to be made. Or you don't really have to make that if your EAV is growing and your tax base is growing. But if it is not, that's when you have to make those decisions. And so,
and that's your job as electric board.
Right.
But you're exactly right. That's the inherent problem with surveys, right? Because they say, what do you want in your community? They don't ask. If you used to do a quad center, would you want to build a quad center?
Or
would you want to spend this much and then your taxes will go up this much?
Yeah.
If you ask someone, do you want us to build a, because people always say they want to build a pool, but do you want us to build a pool and your taxes to build it would go up this much and your operational taxes, you would go up this much, and all of a sudden the 100 people want it, and all of a sudden by the time you're done asking those detailed questions, 5 want it. So if you ask, do you want a dog park? But your taxes will go up, or you would lose this amenity. Which would you prefer?
Yeah, that's a tough question to ask.
Yeah.
Right? Then all of a sudden,
that's why people elect us.
Yeah.
That's really why they elect you, because that's the tough. As elected official, you have to try to figure out what your neighbors are saying. I mean, but we.
And what stinks is we have, and I don't know if there's a way to do it. Actually, before I would get consultants on a number of things, I'd actually try and figure out, is there a way to actually find out how often these things are being used? Like, do we have any idea? Vernon Park is an awesome example. I drive by there, 50% of the time there's people there, 50% of the time there's not kids there. Like, how do we have any idea what people are using?
An interesting question, but not necessarily the question to ask. So in other words, Watts is an example.
You know,
is
tons of people are using it, but it's three or four.
Nope. Actually, how many people from Glencoe play hockey? Well, I don't know either.
But every kindergarten is there.
Okay, so
right?
I know the kindergarten program.
Yeah.
Okay, so they go over there a couple of times.
Yeah.
I know there's people in Glencoe who would say $2 million.
Yeah.
Are you kidding? And you can't put in a dog park. Believe me, that might be a harder sell than you realize. I think I would want to keep Watts. I have a sentimental attachment to it, as we all do.
But how strong is that attachment? $2 million worth? I mean, of course, I also want it to be all year round. So that was another question. Are we going to ever fold that notion into it?
Nope. To
create a year-round ice rink?
Not with the 1.9.
Or a year-round ice rink is
not an ice rink.
No, multi-purpose, yes. That's being folded into that.
Yeah. It has.
It will be in the study.
Year-round ice rink.
And by the way, if we took Watts out, that would be a perfect place for a dog park.
Yeah, well, believe me, there are people who suggest that.
Surveys tell you what people want, what people yearn for.
Yes.
Data tells you what people do.
Absolutely.
I agree with you that you probably have a very select group of Glencoe folks that use Watts, but I don't know how often people are using the central court tennis courts, or how often they're using the lakefront.
Or the beach.
Yeah. You have data on.
Yeah,
we do.
You have some seasonal data. Nothing.
There is
a whole bunch of things, and I'd love to know
element of if you build it, they will come. I mean, we've seen parks that we felt weren't getting a lot of use, and then when we renovated them,
Woodlawn was a particular one.
You guys ever see the bathrooms at the airport? They have the smiling.
They have the counters on them.
That is designed to count. The smiley face, like, how was your service today? Frowny face, happy face. That's literally designed to find out how often people are using facilities.
You can't do it in a park.
If we use that, though, all of our money would go to lakefront because that's where most people go. That's where most feet on the ground.
I'm not necessarily opposed to over-investing in one asset that people use. I'm not saying you don't invest in others, but, like,
I know you're looking for data to help you justify. I always think that way too. I do, but I think
cost prohibited. That somebody can people in parts.
You can't. Yeah.
But and it's also not. It's yeah. You have to remember our
mission.
Central mission
yes.
too,
yes.
for to provide that. Now, does our central mission is to provide a playground within 10 minutes, but. We have so many. So do you need, are you guys willing to say to, say, for example, the Milton neighbor, and I'm going to give you some history about Milton Playground. That playground was just taken from here and put over with no scientific thought if we needed a playground there. So it's like, oh, we have this playground, let's put it there. But once you take away something, something's there that you take away, they perceive it as...
Well, but look at the skate park.
Yeah, we took that away.
We thought we were going to be having a skate park on this list, and we did do. Now, it wasn't real scientific, but we had an intern out there calculating how many people were out there on a weekend or weekday, and we did make the decision in the parking lot, which we all knew we needed, was a drastic thing that we all needed.
Yeah, I remember that.
How many people have come and asked where the skate park is at?
How many?
One.
Oh,
well,
I got one.
Just because they didn't ask for it doesn't mean they don't want it.
That's a data-driven decision. I don't know
when they want it. They knock on my door.
The skate park is they've moved from shortboards to longboards.
Right.
Or,
yeah.
You know,
so 10 years ago, yes.
The kids in Glencoe that are skateboarding on longboards. And they want to be on the ramp at the beach, not at the skate park.
They won't use it. But 10 years from now, I might be telling you totally different thing.
Yeah,
when shortboards are back in style, you know, I may be coming, we have to do one. But those are the hard decisions. You know, you can't have, as much as I love data too, some of these parks
are just not data. I know. I'm
you're going to have to say, okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, how many parks is okay to get rid of Milton? Yeah. And are you okay with the backlash of three people?
The question that I would ask myself, and granted I was not on the board and our relationship is sale is, you know, do you need, if you're putting these fun little pods in this trail there, do you need to throw $300,000 at Lincoln and Crescent? Like, those are the kind of questions. If you're really wondering how does today's CapEx affect tomorrow's OpEx, wait a second, are we over-investing in that whole neighborhood? And I'm not saying we backtrack, but those are the hard things that we have to figure out.
Those are hard things. Right, they're the things to say.
And I'm absolutely not saying you backtrack. I just want to make sure we understand that.
No.
If I could put things in categories for a minute, you have, just bear with me, I'm not sure this is fully fleshed out, but there are certain assets that, and playgrounds in particular, seem to go into this, that pocket playgrounds or neighborhood playgrounds or the smaller ones, right?
Yeah.
Every household or household with children in a residential community should have a playground like that within walking distance of their house.
Right.
Right.
That's, I think, yeah.
So if you started to say, oh, I'm going to save money by by taking out half of the playgrounds, it would demonstrably impact those communities,
yep,
those neighborhoods, and reduce their property values.
Without a doubt.
And anybody can access those, although admittedly they're focused on kids. There are other things like Connect Glencoe, apologies to Dudley for the name, that are sort of accessible to everybody, that are connecting the whole community, right? That I think also go into that category of you should invest in those things that everybody's using. But then you, below that, you get to things that become significantly more specialized, like tennis courts and basketball courts and dog parks and hockey rinks, mm-hmm, where clearly only a fraction of the population is going to use them.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of people are going to drive to them. So you don't necessarily have to have them in every neighborhood.
Correct, yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know if that's an
Dudley, what is that thing, based off of what you were saying, what is that concept that it doesn't have to be within, it can be in the ring outside of where you live? In other words, you should be, people have to accommodate that maybe they go a little further to get their... there's a specific name for it. In other words, if you want a water park in Glencoe, there's one right there in Hubbard Woods. You don't have to have a water splash pad in Glencoe because there's one right there. You know, and if you want to have, and I'm not saying because I know we're going to keep it, but if you wanted to play hockey, there's a huge hockey facility in Winnetka. You just drive right there. So there's a concept. There's a specific,
for example, way. We don't do paddle tennis because we have... We have one right next door.
You.
We don't have an aquatic center.
Yes.
Because it, but
right.
But there's not a Watts. I'm just going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we don't. There's not an outdoor ice rink like Watts. That's a regional. I think we were the first one to do that one, right? So, yeah, there's other indoor ones without doubt.
I think what Josh is saying is absolutely correct, and that's where, and all these things, we're not going to have answers tonight, but it just forces us to think about things
a little bit
differently. And if you... Thinking about the playground, you know, a playground, is that something that this board believes, and I probably think it does, that you should have one within walking distance to most of the homes? Probably
mm-hmm.
yes. Should you have a hockey rink within walking distance to most of the homes? Probably not, right? Hockey rink is a, people will drive there. People have, there's some skin in the game for the people to actually get out there and do that. But it does, and I saw when I first was doing the training, and seeing all the things that we want to do and seeing all the money coming in, you know, something, the math doesn't add up.
Right.
And no one is going to want to say, you know, gosh, do we do a Connect Glencoe, which is awesome, and get that trail, or do we fix Chris's maintenance house?
Nobody wants to fix it.
Nobody wants to fix
Chris.
It. But
Chris, it's a...
We're going to take you back there to the bathroom one day.
So
the ladies bucket and the men's bucket.
I don't think more too much information. But I mean, there is probably the diligence of the board to figure out what the priorities are, and these are not easy,
really?
Not easy things to answer.
Right.
And I think I probably started this by saying, is there a revenue offset to Watts? Because quite frankly, if you're going to look at things that are just revenue offsets, you've got a huge demand for child care here that we can't meet with the needs to today. That does let you fund other things out there.
Oh, that's
so those are the things.
That's
that
what's funding stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
stuff,
we.
Right?
Yeah.
Gaps in,
but how much do we require of those people?
Right.
And just very quickly, here's my anecdotal Milton story that throws all of our assumptions on its ear. I was driving by. There were a lot of people in Milton. I pulled over my car. I went over there and I just started asking them questions. And you know what they said? They said, we love it. This is where we get together in our neighborhood. We don't want to go to friends all the time. There's a lot of chaos, and here our kids get to play with each other, and they were all scrambling on the thing, and the women were sitting, or the men, were they were all hanging out on the picnic benches, and I thought, oh, I'm nuts. There you go. And
I wish you had just...
I wish I had... Why did I just keep driving?
Well, I can tell you, everybody's going to say that to the asset, so that's when you really have to look about anything new. You know, I'm just, half
really
of me is hoping we don't find a dog park.
Away, you guys.
Yes.
In my full line of business is taking things away from people, and you
like leg room.
like baggage, food. I get it. It's really hard. But we have these really tough discussions. You know, at the office as well. It's like today's CapEx is tomorrow's OpEx, and how would you fund it?
Well, so this is, we all want to make data-driven decisions, but they're tempered by our values. And that's where it really gets tough.
Yeah.
Because we're, you know, what is it that we really value, and is it that important that we have to trade something off?
It's kind of really easy to make a data.
I'm not saying that data is the only input that you put in, but it does seem to me like we have that input is lacking in our decision making, right?
Toward improving it.
It's easy to make a data driven decision based on programming. Should we have underwater bask weaving, or should we have top spinning class?
Yeah.
You know, which one is?
Right.
Those are really easy because we have the data. We know how many kids are playing, how much are we balancing. But those are easy.
Yeah.
It's, as Dudley said, those value driven amenities.
How many tennis courts are being used?
Right. The RPA does a national average.
Yeah.
And they measure what the average community has.
So we could share that all with you.
We're way over the average on everything other than the beach and the ice rink.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, because we have 15 playgrounds in a town of 8,600 people. I mean, there are communities that don't have three.
Yeah.
So, but I think that those
you can look at our master plan for those numbers.
Those are the elements that differentiate the community versus, you know, I mean.
So I think.
As
a few clear choices, right? We could say we could spend $600,000 or $1 million on a dog park or on a skate park or on 14N or something like that,
right?
But in order to responsibly do that within our existing tax base, we would have to stop doing these three things.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so, or we would need to increase taxes.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. And so, we have to have a tax cap, too.
So we could say, maybe that's some information I should have had, but so what might be useful for staff to do is take whatever data you have, admitting that it's often not as good as we would like, mm-hmm. and say, okay, if we were gonna get rid of 3 to 5 assets, close them down, what would they be?
We don't have that answer for you. I'm sorry. I know you want us to say make it our thing, because we have no data that would tell you on this particular which ones we would get rid of.
Yeah.
We have nothing. Wouldn't you guys
right,
say
well,
that?
Then we can
it's
sit
back
together.
To us.
We can,
so
I'm not
have,
trying to put you on the
rent
spot.
Out tennis courts like
I'm not trying to put you on the
no,
spot.
No, no tennis
courts.
But I'm telling you, that's true. Right.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean, we could say, okay, the national, I could say NRPA recommends the town of 10,000 have 6 tennis courts. That's not the number. I'll give it for you. And this is what we have. So based on national average, we can get rid of it. That's not going to help you with the decision of the man who really likes his lakefront tennis court, and that's the only one he wants to go to, and he's going to be mad that you take it out. But we can tell you.
Mad
right.
Totally. Then we'll come up with a list and say, okay, what do you think?
We're going to shut down
3 tennis courts and Milton and something else.
We have in the comprehensive master plan, we have the national averages.
I think we kind of gave you it also by putting that number 2
yes.
as a
number 2
amenity.
Keep pointing to lakefront tennis court, but you are always going to have the neighbor who's right next to that asset.
We have to have a board.
Yep.
If we're going to spend $1 million on something that only a fraction of our residents are going to use, we have to be fiscally responsible going forward. So we'll have to say, okay, we're going to close down Milton, Lakefront Tennis Court, and, you know, something else in order to be able to afford that in the long run. Because otherwise we can't maintain everything.
Right.
We overbuilt.
We're going to have to look at each other and say, yes, we're willing to take the heat for closing down those three or four things in order to do this one thing. Or if we can't make that decision because we're like, we just can't see closing down those assets, we could put a referendum out, I guess, assuming we could increase the taxes and say, do the residents of Glencoe support raising people's taxes by $100 a year to pay for a dog park?
I mean, really, that, exactly
that's
right.
New service.
And I will get down
to... Or what? I mean, that $100 isn't assigned to a dog.
Or what?
Or it's assigned to... Right. I mean, just
it's,
one thing.
It's capital infrastructure
money.
Improvement, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're not going to solve that tonight, but I do think that... To probably wrap it up a little bit, because I think we're going to have a lot more questions than we're going to have answers, but these are all of the things that we need to be thinking about as we head towards kind of the next
step.
6 months of...
Discussion.
Discussion, right?
Exactly. And I'll bring you as much data as I can about the national average tennis courts and basketball courts and things like that to help you make those decisions, to know that if we're underserved in a certain area, I'll say, oh, we really can't take that asset out because we're underserved, but I don't think that's the case right now. But I'll bring that data to you to help you make those decisions. And staff will give recommendations, too, if we...
Dudley and I were here, I don't think you were here quite yet when we got the Lakefront Master Plan presented and we sort of shelved it. But
it was right at the beginning.
It was just okay. And, you know, the courts were kind of all part of that whole, as opposed to just saying, okay, we're going to tear down the fencing and pull up the stuff and we're done. I mean, there's a whole plan going forward for the lakefront. And so if we start weighing, maybe we just get rid of some of these things. We have to weigh that into a general plan for the lake.
Well, the plan is actually shelved.
Closing things down will actually cost more money.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. Yeah. Talk about sentimental
and then
value
to
those cars.
There's also the level of maintenance at the risk of getting beaten up by Andre. I mean, Cog Park and Shelton Park drainage.
Well, it's on there. We're not going to...
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But that's something to discuss. I don't think you're...
Okay.
To Michael's point, we're not going to... That wasn't intention tonight to decide which one we're going to do, but there's all...
It is good, at least from my perspective, I will say I'm appreciative of all of your feedback, because it's, you know, I don't necessarily know where a lot of you guys stand, and these are tough things.
They're really tough things.
It's not... I've never been as challenged with trying to figure out what to do and not do as this time.
That's how we think about, you know, a serious discussion about any additional capital investment, because capital investments are going to only make this challenge harder. And it's not to say we don't do it, but we have to think about it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, so we are ready to move on to... We need to go into executive session.
Okay, the board will now enter into closed session where no action will be taken. I entertain a motion that pursuant to Section 5 ILCS 120/2 of the Open Meetings Act, the board will enter closed session to discuss real estate as mandated by Section 2.06 (5 ILCS 120/2, (C, 5, and 6). Those present during the executive session include commissioners and executive director Lisa Shepherd.
So moved. Second.
Discussion? Okay, roll call vote.
Commissioner Covey?
Here.
Commissioner Lennon?
Yes.
Commissioner Underdunk?
Yes.
Chair Brooks?
Yes, motion passes.
Okay.
So stop.
Okay, motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Move. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.